We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
It's always good when a Bible chapter begins with something like, the people were pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, and the land was at rest 40 years. See, that's always good. Judges 16 does not begin like that. Hi, Alex McFarland along with Bert Harper, and this is Exploring the Word. And we're in the Old Testament book of Judges. And Bert, this is such an exciting book, and I think there are a lot of applications for us today about trusting the Lord, being consistent for the Lord. But even at a time of spiritual and cultural erosion, God would raise up leaders. And Samson, for all of his failures and foibles, Samson is one of those leaders God raised up in the time of Israel.
He is. And again, he's a man. There's two kinds of living on the edge. Living on the edge, serving the Lord. Not being afraid to try new things. Launching out into the deep, you know, like Jesus told the apostles to do, even though they had fished all night. But then there's the living on the edge of disaster with bad choices.
Yeah.
That describes Samson all the way through these four chapters. Every time you come to Samson, he went into a foreign country and he liked a woman there. He went over there and gave a riddle. You know, so many things. And this one, chapter 16 wraps up with living on the edge and in disaster. But then, and I think it was an act of repentance, not just complete selfishness, he redeems and God gives him strength, and he fulfills much, I won't say all, much of what God's purpose for him was.
Yeah. Well, you know, yesterday we were reading about how Samson, with the jawbone of a donkey, he killed some of the enemies of God, and then he got water miraculously, and it sustained him. But it says that he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now, verse 1 of chapter 16 says, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come here, and they compassed him in." So listen, he's one of these people, when he arrived in town, everybody knew, you know. But just very matter of fact, he has relations with a prostitute here. That is not something a Nazarite, someone of a Nazarite vow, a man of God, should be doing. But yet he did. But like you say, God is going to restore. God's still going to use him. But he was not consistent in his walk with God, was he?
He was not. And again, it is sad. He fulfilled some. I'm not sure he would hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." He was one of those that, yes, he demonstrated faith. He's in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11, and I understand that and believe that, but at the same time, how much was wasted? And what we want to bring to everyone who is listening today, don't waste your gifts, your talents, and your time. Use them wisely. It makes a difference, the choices you make. Have you heard the phrase, "Decisions determine destiny"?
Oh, my word, yes.
And this is so true with Samson. His decision determined destiny, that he would be blinded, that he would be mocked. That was the decisions that he had made and it brought him into prison to be mocked. And so here he is. He does it again to a harlot. And so they wait on him, it says. But Samson, he stayed there. Some way he got word that they were out there. Then he arose at midnight, verse 3, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Now, Alex, have you noticed it seems like his strength sometimes is grows, you know? He kills 30, then he kills 300, and now picks up the gates of this city. And that's where they were lying in wait, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know what? When we were in the Holy Land a few years ago, we saw some amazing gates and doors. I've been out west to some like cattle ranches, and imagine they'll take almost like an 8x8 beam and put it in the ground, and then across the top, this bar across the top, and the gates, it can be incredibly heavy. So Samson pulls this thing up out of the ground, and I picture him like straddling it across his shoulder, and he's walking with it and drags it up to the top of this hill. And it was almost like a message, these men of Gaza that said, look, we're going to lay in wait, and when he wakes up, we're going to kill him. This is verse 2. But at midnight, Samson gets up, and let me say this. The gates of a city being torn down was very symbolic that your city wasn't safe anymore. Let me say that defund the police. This actually goes back to the ancient world when conquerors wanted to show you that your city was no longer secure. They would tear down your city gates. This is like the equivalent of it. But anyway, he shows them that, you know, he's not going to be overcome and he's not going to be executed. In fact, he's not just going to escape execution. He's going to tear down their city gates. It's a pretty big statement.
It is. It is.
Verse
Alex.
4 says, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now, this is incredibly famous the world over. Everybody knows Samson and Delilah. And the name Delilah, not good implications, is it?
It is not. And it means something like devotee. Now, like devoted to someone, and it's not devoted to the Lord. There's debate. Was she a Philistine or was she an Israelite? I think the tendency here, the way she was working with the Philistines, it kind of put her in that category. And so she was devoted to their God and devoted to their way. And this valley is just a small area, you know, with water in it. And he goes down to where she is. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overcome him, and we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, they're not just interested in killing him. They want to bind him and afflict him and mock him. One more thing, Alex, let me say this. It sounds like they've done some investigation or some observation, and they know Samson's weakness. It's his relationship with women that's illicit, that is wrong, and also with women sound like some ill repute, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've heard it said of people, you know, there's somebody's a playboy or something like that, and, you know, they'll talk about men that would, you know, ignore, you know, 9 good girls to get to the 1 bad girl. I mean, Samson was like that. By the way, in verse 4, he's in a place called the Valley of Sorek, S-O-R-E-K. And, you know, Jewish history tells us that that word Sorek means fruitless or empty. Now, this is going to be a fruitless, vacuous, empty relationship, isn't it, Delilah? And so, yeah, these Philistines, they they know their subject matter, and Samson has a problem with illicit relationships and bad women. And they somehow, and maybe it's, you know, from the riddle, people have wanted to know the source of his great strength. And so far, it's a secret. But Delilah says to Samson, verse 6, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Now, Bert, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but if somebody asked me, "Hey, what's the source of your strength, and what would it take to bring you down?" I'm thinking, okay, maybe I don't want to answer this question.
If you were a cartoon character, would a light bulb go off over your head? Can't you imagine that?
Now, Wait just a minute.
Now, this is not just one time. This is going to be repeated
four times,
Alex.
I'm like, come on, Samson, wake up here. Don't fall for this. But Samson, and this is, like you said, living on the edge, the dangerous edge, he likes to play a game. He says, well, if they buy, and this is, you know, a lie in verse 7, but if they bound me with 7 green withes that never dried or vines, I shall be weak as another man. And the Philistines are like, aha, great. But, of course, that's not it. That's not it. So let's read through this, Bert. And sadly, it's really sad.
It is.
Because Samson ultimately, well, you know, I want to say this. We're not to tell lies, but we don't always have to tell everything we know either. Am I right, Bert?
You are right. And a lot of this takes place, especially during World War II, in Nazi-occupied countries like where Corrie ten Boom was. They would misrepresent some of the truth so they could get ration cards, so mm-hmm. they could feed those Jews that were hiding in their house. And there was different ones, but Corrie had a sister that was also keeping Jews. Hers was not upstairs. Hers was in a cellar underneath the kitchen floor, if I remember it right. And they would come in, "Where are these Jews?" And her sister said, "You're walking all over those Jews." Now, what they were doing, they was thinking about what they were doing to them. But in truth, she was telling them the truth, but they didn't get it. So here it is. It says, "Now there were men lying in wait, waiting in that same room with Delilah. And she said, after she had tied him up, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as strands of yarn breaks it when it touches fire, though the secret of his strength was not known.' Then Delilah," let's say this, let's see if we can say it, Alex, "'Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may, that you may be bound, how you may be bound.'" Alex, I don't know if Samson had a learning disability or not, but it shows you sin and desire, you know, out of hand will blind you to what you need to do. I know that.
Well, you know, let me say there's a word called hubris. And hubris is arrogance, and you think, well, I'm untouchable, you know. And sin does that to people. Bert, you and I have known people that at one time were mightily used of God, and then sin destroyed them. And Samson is in this place that he's giving himself a pass. He is in the Faith Hall of Fame. I think it's Hebrews 11:32. You will see Samson in heaven. But he didn't take sin seriously, and he began to think that he was just bulletproof. We're going to see that he was not.
He was not. It's a downward spiral, and chapter 16 demonstrates that. So stay with us as we look more and further into the life and the end of Samson's life. We'll be back right after this break.
Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies.
Still keeping all his promises.
Amen. Our Redeemer lives. He is not here. He is risen. You know, Easter is going to be in March this year. That's unusual. It is every so often. And so we're looking forward to that. He is not here. He is risen. Our Redeemer lives. And we pray that you know Jesus Christ is Savior. And we want to just let you know that if you're wondering if you're saved, if you have questions about your salvation, or you may know that you're not right with God and not have that relationship, there's a number that you can call. We partner with them. It's 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM. Those people will pray with you. They'll share scripture with you. They'll help you come to the realization as Jesus as Lord of your life. And so we want to continue on in the book of Judges. We're in chapter 16. And Delilah is complaining. You've mocked me. So verse 11, he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, Alex, we've already gone over this, but I don't want to miss this. Listen, he wasn't like any other man. He wasn't born to be like any other man.
Amen.
He was
Amen.
Born to be Samson, and he was to be a deliverer separated as a Nazarite for God, but he wanted to be like every other man except the strength that he had. He wanted to keep what God had given him and live the way he wanted to.
Well, here's the thing. With the privilege of sonship comes the obligation of discipleship. See, I think a lot of Christians maybe lapse into that kind of idea. I want to be like other people. I just want to live like I want to live. Now, I still want to go to heaven when I die, and I still want God to answer my prayers and provide what I need. But look, if we're going to accept the privileges and the blessings of being a child of God, then don't we have to also joyfully accept the responsibility of being a disciple and obedient, you know? And you were, Samson said, you know, hey, I'll be like any other man. Do you remember back in, I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when Israel said, we want a king and be like other nations. But Israel was not another nation. They were the chosen people of God. Samson was not just another man. He was in the ministry as a judge. And we Christians, I want to say this, folks, you don't worry that people make fun of you. You know, in a world where everybody seems to have lost their morals, no, we speak the word of God. We stand for the truth of God. The world can mock and make fun, but they didn't hang on a cross and die for us. Jesus did.
Amen.
Don't we need to remember whose we are and where our loyalty must lie?
And it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, because our Redeemer does live, and it is appointed unto man to die. And then after that, we will be judged. And the key question is, what have you done with Jesus? So make sure you know Christ is Savior. Well, Alex, it goes on, and Delilah took the ropes. Those men were lying in wait in the room. Delilah says, be upon you, and he broke loose. Verse 13, then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me, told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of the loom. Now, Alex, he's getting a little closer to the truth, isn't he?
He really is getting dangerously close to the truth. But here's the thing. She's like, you've mocked me. You tried to throw me into the hands of the Philistines. So here's how the way this transaction works, Delilah. If you try to contribute to my downfall, I'm going to be selective about what I tell you, you know? But he's not thinking here. And verse 15, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and has not told me wherein thy great strength lies. It's really sad. This wasn't the first time, certainly wouldn't be the last time, that a relationship was not based on love, but on leverage, and not based on mutual respect, but on manipulation. And let me just say, love, as Augustine says, is to seek the highest good of another. If you truly love somebody, whether it be your spouse, your family members, your neighbor, true love, 1 Corinthians 13, love does not seek its own way. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. This relationship might have had a lot of things going on, but biblical love wasn't one of them.
It was not. And she threw that word around as manipulation. Well, what happens, it came to pass when she pestered him daily. You remember the first woman that he was dealing with and about telling him about the solving the riddle that he gave? And it was, yeah, he put it off to the seventh day, and then he told the truth. Now, I want to say two things about the women there, the first one and this one. The first woman was, she was threatened. You know, if you don't find this out, we're going to burn your house and your father and you in it. You're going to die. This one is a payoff. We're going to give you so much money. Satan is always dealing in those things, threatening and buying off. And he uses this woman, Delilah, to do that. And it came to pass, she pestered him. And it says that in verse 17 that he told her of his heart and said, now here it is, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all of his heart. Now, what had happened? They'd given up on her. They had backed off. They had said, we're not going to hide in your room. We're not going to waste our time. So they had backed off, but she prearranged them coming, and then she would have his heart, his hair cut. I just thought of that, Alex. The heart and the hair.
Both were compromised.
They were. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep, cut off the seven locks of his head as a man came in. And then verse 20, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, now here's what he said, and this is what she was talking about, his hubris, what he thought. He thought, you know, he could overthrow anything, Alex. I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him.
Wow. I'm sure people have heard it preached on, but verse 20 there is so sad that he didn't know the Lord had departed from him.
And like any other man, totally.
Yes. It's very sad. You know, and by the way, it's easy to pontificate from our vantage point, but yeah, I wonder why he didn't notice. Okay, wait just a minute. Every time she interrogates me about what would bring me down, the Philistines come out of the room where they were hiding in wait. Maybe they're working together. Now, of course, she was offered 1,100 pieces of silver to sell him out. But alas, he did get sold out, and his hair is cut. The Spirit of the Lord had left him, and his strength as well. Notice, the strength was not his own. It was entrusted to him from God. And I think about the things that we have, the blessings of life. They're not our own, you know? Bert, I've heard people talk about, quote, a self-made man. If we are skilled, successful, intelligent, prosperous, whatever, these are blessings from God. And let me say, and I don't want to get us off track here, but our family is a blessing from God. We dare not take that for granted. Having a spouse, being married, that's a gift from God. We don't want to take that for granted. Bert, if we ignore the Lord and take his blessings for granted, maybe we look up one day and those blessings are gone.
Yeah.
It's very sad, isn't it?
It is. You do not live that way. You do not live bargaining and threatening and trying to get by with as much evil as you can and not get burned.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's exactly what he did. Now, let's read, because we're trying to finish this all in one day, because it's kind of the story set that way. Verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison, doing what a donkey would do, doing what a slave would do, a captured slave, someone that they had captured in battle, and put them at the grinding wheel, where all they did was go around in circles all day long. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, to rejoice. And they said, our god has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And I want to say just a comment. I want to read it. Then I'll throw it back to you, Alex. And this is what they saw. They saw their god greater than Samson's god. That was their interpretation. When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our god has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. We don't know what all it was. And they stationed him between the pillars. Now they were mocking, they were worshiping. Part of their worship was so deviant of mocking God, Alex, and that's what they were doing. And Samson, what had become the centerpiece of their entertainment.
Mm, that's true. And you know, talk about these Philistines, you know, the name Dagon, D-A-G-O-N. There's a lot in the Bible about the worship of Dagon, and you know, Samson is going to destroy this temple to Dagon. But do you know what that word means? I mean, it's so sad. Demon Lord.
Yep.
Isn't that sad?
It is.
I mean, that people would worship such a demon, but they did. So they have this, you know, party, and they're drinking, and they're intoxicated. And for the entertainment of the night, they call for Samson, that they could, you know, make fun of him and all that, and publicly humiliate him further than what he had been already. And he said, so Samson, remember verse 22, his hair began to grow after he was shaven. You know, we serve the God of restoration, don't we?
Amen.
And so a boy leads this giant of a man out there, and he says, allow me that I may feel the pillar whereupon the house stands, that I may lean upon them. And, he's going to do more than lean on them. Now, the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. So there's people up on a balcony looking down. There's people in the banquet hall, and it's a drunken, occultic, false religious orgy, you might say. So Samson prays in verse 28, and he says, O Lord God, remember, I pray thee, strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistine for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And he said, let me die with the Philistines. Now, Bert, this is a very famous passage. He's going to push these columns, and the house is going to all fall in on the people, but on Samson himself. He dies victorious, but he does die, doesn't he?
He does. It's a it's a bitter victory. It could have been so much better had he obeyed the Lord, but many times in the restoration, there's still heartache. There's still difficulty. It's like David, after he had confessed his sin, and he was the man, the results of that in his, the rebellion that would take place, the child that would die, it stayed with him. You can be restored, but the results of those things, They may not be taken away, and they were not taken away from him. And his, notice what happens in verse 31, and this is important. And his brothers and all of his father's household came down and took him, brought him up, buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of his father, Manoah, and he had judged Israel 20 years. Now look, if you would, at the last verse in 15, and it says he judged Israel 20 years. That's what he was doing and what he would do. And here it is what he has done. Now, Alex, again, there's always an evaluation. And here's the evaluation. He judged, but when you look back on it, it had its ups and downs. It had its difficulties and hardships. It had his failures and some successes. But again, we find Samson, a man that had was born with great purpose, great possibility, but yet he did not fulfill it all the way, just partially. I think God wants us to fill it all the way, brother, don't you?
I do. I do. Let me say this. When he pushes on, this is verse 30, and he pushes these columns down, I mean, look, I'm sure Samson was huge, strong, and pushing the grinding wheel had been a good workout, but he couldn't have done this without the supernatural strength of God. So God was still with him. But isn't it something? He had more vision after his eyes were gone. You know?
Yeah.
His eyes were plucked out, and only then he was no longer blind.
Hey, we got numbers that you can call, 888-589-8840. Give us a call with your Bible question today.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
The devil thought he had a hold of me. He told so many lies that I believed. Got too weak to carry on. I thought that I was too far gone. But then I heard a voice from Calvary.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. That voice from Calvary, praise God for it. Hey, the number is 888-589-8840. We're going to get to calls. Bert, I've got to give a little update on the Cove. I'm going to be there July 12th through 14th, and I talked to them yesterday, and I'll be teaching 1 John. By the way, the website is thecove.org, T-H-E-C-O-V-E. It's three-fourths of the way sold out with 4 months to go. And I give God the glory, and I want to say a big thank you. And they said that probably within 2 to 3 weeks, it will be sold out. So if you're planning on coming to the Cove, you probably need to register quickly. Angie and I will be there July 12th through 14th. I'll be teaching 1 John and what is our identity in Christ. And I know that as it is every summer, the vast majority of people that come are our listeners from AFR, and I give God the glory. We're going to have a great time together, but I'm very thankful for the Exploring the Word and AFR audience. They're so faithful, aren't they,
Brother? They are faithful, and all year we have mission projects, and again, they help us share the Word of God with others. They help people be discipleship. They help preborn, as it tells young ladies where truth is concerning their child and concerning their relationship with the Lord. AFR is a missional ministry. We really are. And so we thank God for that. Well, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Kentucky. Steve, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Hey, Bert. Yeah, I'm calling because I was looking at Bibles. They're called Cambridge Bibles. They're high-end Bibles. They're very well made. They're not printed in China. They're very high-quality Bibles. And I was looking at a new King James Version Bible because you use it.
Yeah.
And that's why I was looking at it. I think I'm going to get one.
Well, let me, Steve, don't hang on. Let me just tell you, I love it. Let me give you my second favorite now. I'm using this one in my – I'm reading through the Bible this year. Alex and I gave the challenge, and I'm taking up the challenge. And the Bible that I'm using is the one that we gave several away from Focus on the Family, reading the Bible through in 1 year. And so you have some in the Old Testament, some in the New, then a Psalm, and then a Proverb. And it's the New Living Translation. And Steve, Alex, I am telling you, I'm way ahead. Let me just tell everybody, I'm already in the middle of March with my Bible reading. I'm not bragging on that. It's just because, man, this is so good. I know what's going to happen in the next chapter, you know, but I want to read it because I want to get there. But the New Living Translation is good as well, Steve. But New King James, I love it as well. Think it'd be a good buy, brother. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll look for that one too, Bert. I kind of follow what you suggest.
Okay. Well, brother, it's great. Listen, I want to stick with Alex and Bert Harper. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. We love the Word of God because we love the God of the Word. We want to know the Word of God so we can know God better. We want to help people not only to know the Word, but how they can get into the Word on their own. And brother, that's what Exploring the Word's all about, isn't it, Alex?
It really is. Steve mentioned Cambridge Bible Publishers, and I had a Cambridge Bible. They are very nice, and of all things, it got stolen when I was in Jerusalem, so I'm hoping it's doing good for somebody. But
amen.
Here's the thing. Cambridge Bible Publishers has been in business, get this, 440 years.
Say that again.
Cambridge Bible Publishers, and they do make an incredibly quality Bible, mostly King James Version. I think they might do the New King James too, but they've been publishing Bibles and Christian books 440 years.
Wow. Amen.
Isn't that something?
Hey, Steve, you're getting a great deal, brother. We appreciate you calling, and keep on listening, and we want to take you through the Word of God to know it. Let's go to Arkansas. Kathy, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bert. I love you and Alex more than y'all ever know, and you inspire me and bring
Bless
me closer
you.
To the Lord. I love AFR, and I have a prayer request. It's on my son. He's bipolar schizophrenic. He's in jail right now because he tried to break in my house. I had him at a motel, but they kicked him out because he is so disruptive. He'd been living there for about 6 months. And anyway, I'm trying to get him committed into the hospital because he refuses to take his medicine. Hasn't took it in probably 9 or 10 months. He's just as crazy as he can be. And he told me that if anyone was hurting me, that he was going to come to the house and there'd be a bloodbath and he would take the blood of everyone and rub his head, toe. And I need prayers that I could get the help. I got to go to court.
Kathy, do that. Kathy, let me just tell you, do what you have to do. We're going to pray, and we're going to go to God. We're asking people to write Kathy's name down. God knows who she is. He knows who her son is. He knows his condition. And we're asking God to invade that man's life, and it takes an invasion. But we're praying they would be restrained. Sometimes I have to do that. But, Kathy, we're going to be praying for you, and you're going to have a whole lot of people all across America praying for you for strength and direction. Kathy, does that sound like the two things you really need a lot, strength and direction?
Yeah, because I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. And I pray every day, and I try and read my Bible every day. And y'all are such an inspiration to my life.
Amen.
And I've been listening to y'all for about 4 years now. I found AFR, and it's been a blessing that I can't.
Okay. Well, Kathy, we're going to pray right now, okay? And Alex, you got enough information. I think we can pray aloud, don't you?
Yes. Let's do that.
Yeah,
and
do
Kathy,
it, brother.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Let's agree together, folks. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you that you are the God of all comfort, and Lord, you're our protector and our guide, and all of these things that Kathy has brought. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to intervene and intervene strongly. Give her peace and assurance that you are looking after her. Lord, this individual that has just emotional and psychological issues, Lord, we know that fundamentally these are spiritual issues. So I pray you would save this person, change their heart, and Lord, help Kathy in all of the storm to be at peace, because her life is centered on you. And Lord, we don't even know what to pray, but Lord, we know that you know all things, so we lift it up to you, and we praise you for the result. Let her have good results, and let the circumstances resolve themselves according to your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Kathy, thank you for calling, and people are praying, and thank you for listening and calling. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Chris. Thank you for calling, Chris.
Hey, man, how y'all guys doing?
Doing well, good. Brother. Thank you for calling today.
Hey, y'all are studying the Old Testament in Ephesians 2:15. You see why Jesus had to come? He said he took away that law of ordinances. That's Jewish law. And just like Jesus talked in Mark 7, he said that's the traditions of men. And see, just like them, what does it say in Romans, what 10? Paul says, we're no different than Jews. See, we got our ordinances and our laws as far as being a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Church of God, a LS, Latter-day Saints, and all them. So he's trying to get rid of our traditions and come to know him personally.
Hey, Chris, let me just tell you, Alex and I, we hold the Bible up as high as we can, but we try to make much of what God does. And there's some differences, yes. But, Alex, some of those differences don't necessarily need to be highlighted. They need to be received and saying, okay, let's move on. Jesus is Lord. You're saved by grace through faith. You're to walk in him. We're his workmanship, and we're to be his side. Marriage, identity, and everything, identify with Christ. What we need to do, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I'm so glad he mentioned that, Ephesians 2:15. That's right. What good works couldn't do, we could not keep the law. In fact, we've broken God's law. But in Jesus, we are made righteous. And so I'm glad he brought out that verse.
We have the law written in our hearts. Amen?
What
a statement that is. And why is that? Because the Holy Spirit of God indwells believers, and he comes in as he is. He's not running a bargain basement business saying, I'll come in, he comes in as Lord. So anyway, I know we're excited about this, but we appreciate that, Chris. Let's go to Texas. Barbara, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. And Brother Bert, you and Alex are such a blessing. Thank you for your teaching. My question is, in Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 19th verse, it says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I have had some tell me that the Father and the Holy Spirit were added later, and before that they were just baptizing in the name of Jesus. Could you share some light on that?
Alex, as far as I know, all the manuscripts that I've heard out, contain all three. How about you, that ancient manuscripts?
Yes, in Acts 2:38, in the book of Acts, they are baptizing in the name of Jesus. But here's the thing. When you mention Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, technically, because God is indivisible, the Trinity can't be separated out. Bert, you could baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You could baptize in the name of the Father. Now, the Lord, and we have to accept what he's revealed about himself. And God has revealed that he is one God, but eternally existent as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm looking at the Greek right now, and in Matthew 28:19, it says, the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I realized that really it's about 30 years ago, there was something called the Jesus-only movement. But, I've talked to some of these Jesus-only people that really deny the Trinity. And so, ma'am, don't you worry. The baptismal formula, you could mention all three members of the Godhead, or two, or one, but the words of Christ, it's in red, Matthew 28:19, baptizing, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Bert, Jesus said it, so I'm going to go by what he said about the way we baptize.
Amen. I agree with you fully. And again, Barbara, we hope that helps. It is. And far as I've looked and I've searched before, and again, it's there. There's no way to believe, according to what we have, that it was added later. But thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Iowa and talk to Edwin. Edwin, thank you for calling.
It's great to be on with you, too. I got a question about John 3:16. Every time I hear this, I think of it. It was before Jesus was crucified. And in John 3:16, it just says that we have to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Now, that would kind of apply to the under the law under the Old Testament. Or in Corinthians, it says we have to believe that Jesus took away our sins and rose again from the dead for us to be saved, because we all have sins. So can we just believe in Jesus? Is that good enough to take away our sins? Or we have to believe that Jesus died and was crucified and rose again?
Okay, Edwin, let's go to the word believe first. Let me take care of that, Alex, real quickly. The word believe is so much more than what we use it in our language. It means to trust. It means a total trust, not a partial, to trust in him. It's faith in him. If you were going to use the word, it's faith in him. And so when you faith in him, let me set it up and you take it away. You not only who he is, but what he has done and where he is. That's the total comment of why all that is, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I know that in 1 Corinthians 15:3-5, Paul talks about how that Christ died, was buried according to the Scriptures, the third day rose from the dead. And certainly a comprehensive knowledge of salvation includes that Jesus died and rose again. But like Bert said, the word believe, saving faith, belief, to trust in. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. So it is simple, believe in Jesus. But if you do, I think that belief should grow into a life of obedience.
Listen, I didn't know everything that I needed to know when I was 12 years old and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I knew he was God. I knew he had died on the cross, overcoming death, and rose again, ready to take away my sin and forgive me. That's about what I knew. And guess what, Alex? He saved me. He set me apart even as a 12-year-old boy. He'll do that for you. Those of you who are listening, he'll save you. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.